giving this talk this afternoon, partly for Dr. Harold Freeman, well, actually in large part for Dr. Harold Freeman, who couldn't be here today. Some of this work was done almost exclusively by him and others. Parts of it were things that we worked on together. Myself more on the entertainment side, his more on closing the health disparities gap in Harlem, where Dr. Freeman is president and medical director of the Ralph Lauren Cancer Center. The causes of health disparities are fairly varied, and the reasons, as you can see from the chart here, can be due to poverty, low SES, culture, social injustice, a whole host of things. And all of those different factors can play a part in terms of where you intervene in someone's illness, whether you can intervene at the preventive stage or later in the treatment stage, or, as we're going to talk about a little bit, in the survival and the mortality stage. And a lot of racialization, as Dr. Freeman likes to call it, has a lot of social history, science, healthcare, and through time, all these things have had a chance to percolate through various aspects of the medical healthcare system. It's kind of a busy table here. you can take a look at it later. I believe all these slides are available online at the APHA site. But the essence of this is that there are a lot of different places to try and intervene, to try and reverse the impact of some of the negative aspects of racialization on healthcare. And one of those areas that Dr. Freeman has focused on is a concept called patient navigation. And what he says is there's a very critical window of opportunity to save lives affected by cancer. And it's that one time where you find something suspicious and then you have a chance to actually do something about it. So how do you get into people who have a reluctance to be a part of what has become standard medical practice in the United States? And what he has done is he's looked at Harlem. If you look at the map here, the east side of Harlem is more Hispanic than the central part of Harlem, which is more African American. The west side, Columbia University, is co-opted to a large extent, so it's more polyglot and a little bit harder to study. So looking first at central Harlem, again, mostly African American, Harlem ranging from the top of Central Park at 110th and going up to about 157th Street, fairly low medium income, and median years of school completed is also not that great. East Harlem, as I mentioned, is a greater Hispanic population. Median income not too different from that of Central Harlem. The median number of school years completed is also relatively low. So, two different studies looking at the breast cancer experience in Harlem. One conducted over a 22-year period starting in the mid-60s, another one done more recently from the mid-90s to the start of the millennium, one with a little bit larger patient population, predominantly African American, the other more recent one that has a little bit larger Hispanic population. About half of them had no medical coverage, and a fair number were in the poverty or fairly poor ranges. And so the idea of these two studies was to look at a patient navigation model. A patient navigator was a concept that Dr. Freeman came up with, was getting someone who wasn't part of the established medical arena in to work with these folks who had a reluctance to interact with doctors or other health professionals who weren't part of the community, and figure out at what point you could help them with their cancer diagnosis. Because if you diagnose cancer earlier, there's almost always a better outcome. So you want to start, in his model, at the abnormal finding, work with a patient navigator, have the patient work with the patient navigator through the resolution of their treatment and then the rehabilitation if necessary. So what has been the impact of a screening or a patient navigator program at the Harlem Hospital Center, which is about midway in central Harlem on Malcolm X Boulevard during these two different periods. So here are the number of patients in these time periods who are diagnosed at stage zero. Stage zero is a pretty tough stage to diagnose. Stage one, much more common. So pretty low numbers in the earlier time period, a little bit better in the latter time period. Again, in stage two, you can usually treat fairly well. So in the early period, a fair number at that stage, not as many in the later time period. Stage three, which is much more difficult to treat, you find way too many people in that earlier study being diagnosed as stage three. And then at stage four, which is seldom treatable, especially on a long-term basis, a very high number, 10% is pretty high. So the idea was, okay, what could you do if you got a patient navigator into the system? What kind of difference could you make? And if you look at the first study, you'll see that before the access to screening and patient navigation, the five-year survival rate, which is sort of the benchmark for whether you can make it through the cancer treatment process, was 39%. Not great for breast cancer. When you apply it in a later period in the other study, much greater success. So some lessons learned, some different populations, but the patient navigator program was clearly having an impact. So one of the other things that happened, and this is what I was more involved with, was through a program called Hollywood Health and Society, which is located out in Los Angeles, where we interact with the entertainment industry through the Norman Lear Center and through the USC Annenberg School of Communications. And we go out and we visit a lot of TV entertainment writers and producers, ER, Grey's Anatomy, House, Private Practices now, all those sort of programs, and try and tell them about some new ideas in cancer or other types of research that we think might be worth dramatizing in some of their series, or if they have questions about various programs or various questions about how to depict cancer accurately, we can help them out with that too. So a consultation that we did on the Warner Brothers backlot with the producers of ER in 2005 elicited a fair amount of interest by the writers and producers of ER. ER has about four MDs on their staff who are writers and producers who have still some of them in practice at various community hospitals or their own private practices around LA. And the executive producer of ER is an MD also, and was quite interested when we said, here's a concept that really hasn't been discussed much outside of Central Harlem. Is this something that would interest you? And if so, we'll put you in touch with Dr. Freeman. You can find out more about it. And because we're pretty sure that nobody has used this as the basis for a dramatic episode on entertainment television, which includes soap operas, we think it might be something different that you could do. By this point in time, ER was in its 11th season. They were sort of running out of new ideas, and they thought this would be quite an interesting way to go. Because of some technical glitches, I can't show the clip, but what happens in this particular storyline, there's a woman comes into the ER, has a number of different symptoms, and they do find upon palpation that she has a 7-centimeter mass in her breast, which is pretty advanced. And there is a myth in some parts of the African-American community, particularly in Harlem, that if you cut into cancer, it will spread. So when she was in this particular dramatization, when they said, this is a large mass, we know it's metastatic, it has to come out, we're scheduling you for surgery, she said, no way, no how, if you cut into cancer, it will spread and you will kill me. So fade to black, fade to commercial depends, Dr. Pepper to come back, and you find that they brought a patient navigator in to talk with her. Patient navigator in this case was someone who had been treated at this hospital, ER is set in Chicago, not in the best part of town, but a woman who had been treated, had her breast cancer resolved. She had no ties whatsoever to that particular facility. She wasn't a doctor. She wasn't a nurse. She was just someone who struggled herself with breast cancer and had to get through the system, had to figure out how to secure treatment, how to secure funding, whatever else. And she went and she talked to the woman in the dramatization and kind of explained to her what she went through and why it was important for her to sort of stick with the system. End of episode, the woman who came in who said, no hell, no way, was willing to consider being treated. And this was a pretty good dramatization, because in most patient navigator encounters that are successful, this is really what happens. So, given all the success of the patient navigator program, the studies that I showed you earlier, there was legislation that was started in Congress, first by then Representative and now Senator Bob Menendez, and a lot of his staffers who had seen this particular program. The program had aired. There was a lot of more buzz about it. They got the bill through the Senate, and it passed by unanimous consent, signed into law in late June of 2005. And since then, the Patient Navigator Program has expanded. The National Cancer Institute, where I'm from, boy, it's late in this session, currently funds 8 demonstration projects for over $25 million. The Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services is funding 6. The Avon Foundation, if you ever buy the breast cancer semi-postal stamp, where you pay a little bit more than the current 41 cents per stamp, that money comes back to NCI and to other federal research organizations, is now funding more than 100 patient navigator sites, and the American Cancer Society is funding a lot also. So that's sort of how, you know, biomedical science, some social sciences, some, you know, a various number of different paradigms and a different number of theories come into play in this one particular instance to help educate people in a little bit of a different way, and also to help try and move this program forward. So I just got the 2-minute warning, and I'm obviously not speaking too well anymore, so I'm happy to take any questions that anyone might have. There's one way at the back. There are some of those programs available through Dr. Freeman at his research facility. One of the reasons I couldn't show the clip today was Warner Brothers put it together for us, and it was sort of a proprietary system that apparently isn't playing on here. But if you're interested, come see me afterwards. I can put you in touch with the folks who have the clip and can make it of use. And I believe there's another question. It's, you know, like the Hollywood Health and Society program for outreach to the entertainment industry, it's a lot of word of mouth. If someone has had a positive experience, if they feel that they've learned something and they're willing to impart it to others, particularly at Harlem Hospital, there's a program in place. The NCI has just started a pilot project of community cancer centers. We have these large based cancer centers around the country, 63 of them at MD Anderson and Memorial Sloan Kettering. We're looking to get out more in the community, and that's where we hope that some of these programs will take hold. But they'll be very much word of mouth sort of programs, I believe. I guess my time's up. Thank you very much.